thinking about Lent with 40 days. Jesus went in the wilderness for 40 days. It's interesting why he went into the wilderness. Right when he was baptized by John, getting ready for his ministry, that why God sent him here. But he went off into the wilderness. But if you look up the definition of the word tame, it means to subdue, to cultivate, to bring under control, to inhibit, rein in, tone down, to a deprived spirit. There's a Greek word. I love these Greek words. I can't pronounce them well, but I like what they mean, because in the original New Testament, it was written mostly in Koine Greek and some Aramaic and different things, but primarily the whole New Testament was written in Greek. And when translators come and they start translating things, sometimes the original intent or the meaning kind of gets watered down. The Greek word dominai means to tame, to conquer. The antithesis of this word, from which we get the word adamant, means to not conquer or to be invincible. We as humans think we're invincible. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think I am. So one who is tamed is trained to obey other people. One who is wild, on the other hand, there's a Greek word that's therion, and it means a wild beast, untamed, savage, and one given free rein. We do have free rein. I guess that's what makes us wild. But the scripture this morning, kind of a little bit like the Tarzan story. If you remember the Tarzan story, most of us grew up understanding Tarzan. But immediately after his baptizing, he is driven into the wilderness by no other than the Holy Spirit, where he spent 40 days in the wild being tempted. He was with wild beasts, and angels waited on him. And Jesus, in a sense, underwent a what they call a wilderness experience, kind of a coming of age before entering into his ministry that would challenge his mission, that would challenge his ministry, and would even challenge his very identity. I think over in Luke's gospel, telling a similar story, the devil, when he was in that wilderness and he overcome it, because he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and all that. The devil said to him, "I'm going to keep bugging you for as long as you're here, buddy." And he has been doing that not only with Jesus, but with us for ever since. But if you look closely, that scripture doesn't say that Jesus tamed wild animals, nor does it say he fought with them, overcame them, rose above them, or was attacked by them. It says that he was with them, he lived with them, among them, all the while being fed and taken care of and nourished by the angels. Or more importantly, the providence of God. Like Tarzan, Jesus lived among the animals of the wild and in the wilds of the desert, surviving like an animal. The desert, on what he found things that he found things to eat or things that was given to him by the devil. He learned the ways of the wild. He learned about nature and the difference between a predator and a prey. He learned to understand their community and in their order. In other words, he learned how to survive. Christ came to us through the birth canal. He came to us to experience everything that we experience, up to and including death. But he had victory over it. But what he did able to do in the wilderness, he learned how to survive, because he was fully man, fully human, and fully God. And he learned how to survive. But it seems that Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, the Shepherd of Israel, before entering into ministry that would challenge his goals and tempt his soul, would first have to get in touch with his true nature. Not the cultivated one that he was entering into as a Jew, into the Jewish community with expectations and values and rules, and found in a constructed world. Values had come by nature as God's son and an original human being. I like that. An original human being, because we are all chastised with our original sin going way back into the garden. Being born of a natural community, wild and untamed, we all are. Most of you mothers know that when you have your first baby especially, it doesn't come with an instruction manual. You have to learn how to train and tame that little child. So being born in a natural community, as God is untamed at one of all creation, tried and tested and raw and authentic the way God is, Jesus experienced that wilderness experience right at the beginning of his ministry. And like the John the Baptizer before him, Jesus must be one of the wild before entering into dangerous territory of a cultivated civilization. Some of us remember the story Jungle Book, a little book that was made famous by Disney. In the story, which was a young boy named Mal Gilley, I think that's how you pronounce his name, was raised in the wilderness, a place where he understood the laws of nature and a place where loyalty is valued. And the story of man is the enemy of the natural world, not to be trusted. The jungle is a peaceable kingdom if you leave it alone. And the cultivated world is an unpredictable and a fickle, wild place where brother betrays brother, and no one is safe. In the wilderness, you can count on your pack to defend you. You know who your enemies are and whom can be trusted and whom cannot be trusted and why. And you know your place in the circle of life, quoting a phrase from The Lion King. I always find it interesting that a lot of Disney stories, a lot of the things that he did, always had a little flavor of the gospel. It was always amazing. The Lion King is one of those stories that really can tell you a lot about life. Not just for kids, but I enjoy watching it with the kids. But Jesus needed this reminder of who he was before as the Son of God, the Lamb of God, and entering into a Jurassic Park of Philistines and priests and officials and others who would test his strength, betray his trust, question his identity, and even undermine his authority. For this mission, he would need to be as wise as a serpent, yet gentle as a dove. So in this wilderness experience, Jesus takes on the identity of Messiah, shepherd, anointed king, in the footsteps of his forefather David. Who underwent similar experiences in the wilderness, if you remember. First, hiding from Saul, later dealing with betrayal of his close friend. And you can read about that in 2 Samuel 15. He wept alone on the Mount of Olives, where he moved about with his sheep and predators and dangers. He learned how to deal with both opposition and temptation. But he also developed the heart of a shepherd, the soul of a lion, brave in battle and strong in faith. David understood the mission that he was about to take. And his trust in God's provision, so much so, was when he faced Goliath, the giant, with those five smooth stones and a shepherd's sling. He sees not a giant, but a fool who has nothing against the power and the might of the God of Israel. Both David and Jesus cut their wisdom teeth, if you would, and grew their faith as men in the wilderness, chosen by God and fit to survive. The wilderness of Israel was filled with wild animals at the time: lions, brown bears, panthers, leopards, jackals, cobras, hyenas, vipers, scorpions, porcupines, rats and wolves, and wild dogs. I got a wild dog at home. I don't know how I'm ever going to get him tamed. But that's what the environment that he was in. And they lived in the regions. as did deers and doves and gazelles and goats. This was a place that longed for restoration. A wild place, if you would, a desolate place. And it was also a place where God touched down to recreate the world and launch a plan for kingdom living. When sin entered into the picture, way back when, the world became disruptive. One of the reasons that God had Noah do what he did, to kind of recreate and get the system back on track. And it didn't work too good either, because now we're in just as much of a mess as it was during the days of Noah. Jesus even talked about that. They asked him, when is the sign of your coming? He said, in the days of Noah, if you remember that scripture. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Three primary places do we find that Greek word that I mentioned earlier, therion, which means wild beasts. And scriptures in Mark and Acts and most of all of the book of Revelation describing a desert-like, desolate environment in which man made in this cultivated world. The cultivated world is going to be destroyed, and God's recreation begins when Christ returns. For God's restorations always emerge from the depths of desolation. And what is built up in aversion to God's will must first be destroyed before God can restore the beauty of the garden world. You see, God does not emerge from a cultivated place, but God of the behemoth and the Leviathan, you know, them big wild animals that are in the book of Revelation, an untamed place. So we got to think about us and where we are in our life and in this situation in God's time frame this day and now. Because we are a people who like to live in a tame world, a world that we love to control, an environment we like to construct. And I say we, I'm talking about in general. Not all people think that way, but in general, that's what we're trying to do as a society. We like to impose our own will upon things, often to the advantage of some, but a detriment to others. But God comes from a wild place, a place where every creature, including humankind, lives together in harmony, in a nature order, a place where God reigns supreme and God's will is done, and a place where trust in God is paramount. And as we know who we are, and where we are in this place where restoration begins. How does restoration happen? Well, we got a lot of good evangelists that go out and proclaim and get people all excited to do all that. But restoration begins with us, one heart at a time. Jesus experienced in the wilderness that he was tempted to live as the world lives. Now, I never thought about it that way when Jesus was off in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, yet resisted, get thee behind me, Satan, for you should not tempt the Lord thy God. And then later on, when Jesus left the 40 days of wilderness, Satan said, I ain't leaving, I'll be back. And he haunted Jesus all through his ministry, just as he haunts us every day of our life. But Jesus denied the ways of the world, instead opting to trust in God's provision, God's leadership, God's strength, and God's plan. Now you might say, well, that's easy for him because he was God. Yeah, he was God in human flesh, but he came into this world as we all come into the world, experiencing all this worldly stuff. So when Jesus emerged from his wilderness experience, his message to all was this: the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news. So at this initial moment in Jesus' ministry and his life, the inaugural experience of the kingdom of God touched down in the wilderness, and there the infusion of our original human nature, God's created spirit made real into the world, and God's plan would be enacted to spread the good news like a weed throughout the cultivated world, creating havoc and chaos and rendering people who they were, reminding them of what it means to be created in God's own image. That's an awesome responsibility when you think about it, that we're created in God's own image. But we were also created to be wild, obedient to God, but adverse to the ways of the world, the constructs of injustice, to the hierarchies of the heart, and the illusions of power and control that dominate the human created community. The church has an awful responsibility. Jesus said that he told Peter that he would build his church upon that rock and that it would never be hindered by the devil. And he did that with Peter. But then we're human. We let some of the things creep into the church that shouldn't be in the church. The church has become commercialized. The church is not doing what the church should be doing. We as the church, for a long time in this country, we were like riding on a cruise ship. Happy, everything going well. But now all this chaos and illness and everything else turned into us, and we need to get off of the cruise ship and get on a battleship, because we are in a very, very serious spiritual war between good and evil. And it's got to start in the church. That's why Jesus built the church, why he made the church, so that we can help people, we can do things, and not get political or not get this way or that way, but to be a place. I like what Franklin Graham says, that the church is a hospital for sinners. And it is. We need each other. We need to love each other. We need to do more of that praying at the altar and just in general, just being supportive to the people around us. This little church is a beacon to this community back in here. And they're not coming. I can't tell you why, because I don't know. But God knows. But somewhere along this little church has got to stand up and say, here I am to help you, community, where we live. It's a prayer. Jesus will come out of his desert experience to be a wild card, if you would, in order to order everything in life and expect everyone to be brand new. And his disciples would be too. We are new creation in Christ, it says in Corinthians. So my challenge for all of us, and mine included, is because the world kind of creeps in a lot on different things. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. And that's what I do when I get so tempted. And I get tempted. I get crazy thoughts and different things, just like everybody else. And that's what I do. Jesus did it in his defense, and I do it too. And either silently or openly, sometimes out in the middle of the yard is something I need to deal with that the devil keeps messing with my head. I say, get thee behind me, Satan. I am covered by the blood of the Lamb. And I get through it. Now he comes back. He told Jesus he was going to come back and aggravate him for the rest of his life. And he did. He does the same to us. But we have the ability to make that decision. So don't let the world tame your God-festy spirit. And don't let the world destroy the human part of you. Think about it sometimes. How wild are you? Isn't it time to get in touch with your wild side? I think it's good to be in touch with your wild side, because it's a special gift from God.